Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. He's Jason Inman, but you already knew that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. We have lost our minds and we are returning after our Howl's Moving Castle retrospective to talk about what property we think Hayao Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli should adapt next.
Can I ask you a question? We were talking about this on the podcast, or we were thinking about what we should talk about on this episode.
Yes.
You said that Miyazaki had a couple films in pre-production. Can you tell us what those are? I'm just kind of curious.
As long as you can vamp for me while I load the page.
Yes, I can totally vamp for you while you load the pages because that. I know there are members of the KISS Army out there.
Oh my God.
And I just want to tell them that in my opinion, I actually think that the best KISS song of all time is Black Diamond, 1974.
Okay, so.
And then number two is Parasite from their album Hotter from Hell. Number three is, of course, I Wanna Rock and Roll All Night.
So, Studio...
Detroit Rock City is number four. That's another one. Detroit Rock City is good.
And
number five is Lick It Up.
Studio Ghibli, which is his production company.
Yes.
Their movie that is currently in development is called How Do You Live?
Ooh.
It is an upcoming Japanese animated film directed by Hayao Miyazaki and animated by Studio Ghibli. The film is named after the 1937 book of the same name written by Genzaburo Yoshino. The film has an anticipated release before the 2020 Summer Olympics. I also didn't know this, and I've just discovered this, and I think it is very fascinating. Some notable animators and character designers who have come out of Studio Ghibli include Hideaki Anno, who created Neon Genesis Evangelion, I think is really cool.
The plot of How Do You Live, it follows a 15-year-old boy named Junichi Honda, nicknamed Pira, and his uncle as the youth deals with spiritual growth, poverty, and the overall experience of being human beings.
I just want to say that Hayao Miyazaki is 78 and is such a cute man. He's so adorable.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. Oh, his nickname, Copero, is after astronomer Nicholas Copernicus.
Ah, that's cool. I love that.
There is a line from the book, like Copernicus, think that our Earth is moving within it as one of the celestial bodies in the broad universe, or think that our Earth is sitting all the way into the center of the universe. In fact, these two ideas are not all about astronomy. Even when thinking about the world and life, it will end up as usual.
Jason, someday when you and I travel to Japan.
Yes.
Do you want to go to the Ghibli Museum?
Hell yeah.
They have a special short film there that's not shown anywhere else in the world that's called Boro the Caterpillar, and I really want to see it.
Interesting.
It's about a caterpillar.
How many KISS Army fans do you think are in Japan? Just gonna throw that out.
How many people live in Japan?
A lot. Okay, so the idea of this extra episode is that we're going to talk about, 3 minutes into this, how many properties that we think Miyazaki should adapt, because Miyazaki... unknown to me, he adapts a lot of books.
Mm-hmm. And graphic novels.
And graphic novels and stuff like that. So let's say that Miyazaki is open. He's open to working for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Until he's 88.
Yep, he's ready. He's raring to go.
He is someone who I suspect will literally pass away at his desk.
Yes.
And I think that's awesome.
Yes, we will have like a film that he was like half working on that will have to be finished by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley, do you have any ideas? What would you like to see Miyazaki, if you can have him adapt anything you'd like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, we're going to have him adapt something more American. Mm-hmm. But what would you, or North American, what would you have him do?
I'm actually not picking a North American property.
Oh.
I would give anything to see his adaptation of Le Petit Prince or The Little Prince. Because it is a French children's story. It is so whimsical and so beautiful. He lives on an asteroid. He travels in space. He falls in love with a rose. He learns how to trust a alien fox. I just think it has a lot of the same whimsy, but also an unflinchingness from keeping mature themes out of children's stories that Miyazaki does really well, that I think we don't do well in North America. We try to couch and protect our children, and they should be protected, of course. But I would love to see him do a more mature and like a crazier version of that story. I also, just from scrolling through this article, learned that he created a television series called Sherlock Hound. Cool.
Hmm.
But for me, when we were talking about doing this, that's what jumped to mind immediately. Netflix bought a movie version of The Little Prince. It was dubbed in English.
I remember that.
Not to my taste. I think the story is so wonderful, though, and so magical, and that's why the book has been in print since Antoine de Saint-Exupéry wrote it at the first half of the 20th century. I think there's a way to adapt it, and I think Miyazaki might just be the person to do it.
Sure.
And it has a lot of stuff in it that he deals with thematically, including seeing the world through young people's eyes. So, yeah, that was just like the first thing that came to mind for me. Also, he has a movie called Ponyo, which is his swing at The Little Mermaid. So I'm sure there's a lot of really cool stuff that he could do with some of the properties that Disney has adapted.
Do you like Ponyo?
Over the years. I like Ponyo. I do. I think it's cute. I would put it on the same level in terms of like the hierarchy as Kiki's Delivery Service. It's not as deep as something like Howl's is, but I think it's a good time. I have a dress that's got Ponyo designs on it, so I'm into it. Maybe we'll watch it when the anniversary of Ponyo comes out. Because
when's that?
I will look it up. Will you tell me what you might like to see adapted?
I have three choices.
Great.
And they're also gonna build up.
Okay.
I think a very obvious choice would be to give Miyazaki the Lord of the Rings. And he would be the person that I would say, you should adapt the Silmarillion. Mm-hmm. And what's his first name?
Hayao Miyazaki.
Hayao, excuse me. I wanted to say something more. I think Hayao, I would tell him, I'd be like, Hayao, you create the spine that links these stories together, because they're sort of like one-offs,
yes,
or it's an appendices. So I would be like, you create the backbone. You do it. Like, whatever you think it is, because I think he's one of the few creators that would give us something that you'd be like, oh, that's powerful. And now I see how it all links together.
I think the reason why his adaptations of things are more popular than the source material is what he does add and change a lot. And what he brings is so well conceived and so well thought out.
Because there's Hayao Miyazaki brings heart. Mm-hmm. And I think he brings spiritualism. Mm-hmm. And I think he brings kindness to things. And I would love to see, and when you look at Lord of the Rings, it's about the hobbits, kindness beat the big bad, right?
I mean, they're essentially children.
Yes. And that to me is so Miyazaki. So I would be like, I want to see your take on that universe. My second would be, give him Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yes.
Like Peter Parker Spider-Man?
Give him Peter Parker Spider-Man and tell him to go crazy. Tell him to show us stuff with web swinging that we have never seen. Tell him to be like, let us believe that we are inside Peter Parker's heart. Why would he keep doing this? Why does it, the freedom of his flying through the skyscrapers.
Oh, interesting.
I think he would
make... That's a theme that you really connect with, is the flying.
It would be beautiful. Mm-hmm. But the crescendo of his career, and now that I came up with this idea, I kind of think it should be the last thing he ever makes. Because I think he's the one person. There is a property out there that many people have tried to adapt. Many people. And I'm going to say this right now. They've all failed. The only one that was ever a good adaptation was the very first one. The very first time at bat. And every other time, it has been a complete mess. And I think he is the guy that could adapt this book that has been adapted several times and make it finally better and more powerful and more resonant and more true to the book than the original movie. And that is a movie and a book that you know he's inspired by, The Wizard of Oz.
Ah, yeah.
Can you imagine Miyazaki's...
It'd be scary.
Wizard of Oz. It would be scary.
It should be scary.
The Oz books are scary.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They're scary in a children-like way. But can you imagine his Wizard of Oz would finally be the first Wizard of Oz adaptation that would make us forget and make us move past the 1939 version, which we've never been able to get past.
I actually thought for a minute you were going to say King Arthur.
No. To me, what Miyazaki really It's all heart, mm-hmm. and it's childlike.
Yes.
So everything you give,
wonder. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything you got to give him is something wonder. But like, I just think he would make a Wizard of Oz. That's because the book. Or the first movie is nothing like the book. I mean, it has shades of it, mm-hmm. But it's such a well-made movie that that's the reason why anytime somebody makes the book, mm-hmm. we're like, we don't want that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think Miyazaki could find the secret sauce to make us love a Dorothy, a Scarecrow, a lion, and...
a Tin Man.
And a Tin Man.
Or a Tin Woodsman.
That is... more like those books. Mm-hmm. And I even think that he could probably give us such a first version. He doesn't even have to make the sequels. He might be able to make the first one so good, mm-hmm. that we're like, okay, we're going to make all 11
do
books.
Do all of them.
Give us a movie for every book now.
So going all the way back to your question from like 6 minutes ago, Ponyo was released in 2008. So the 15-year anniversary will be in 4 years.
Oh, okay. So we won't do our anniversary on it for a while.
Yeah.
Unless people are like, Ponyo, Ponyo! Which, if they are,
I
sure.
mean, if enough people ask, we'll do it.
Sure.
Ponyo's really cute. It's a little mermaid.
But yeah, I would want to see all three. But I think you can tell he's influenced by Wizard of Oz. And you can tell he's influenced by the movie version of Wizard of Oz.
He's also, I know you have not seen Totoro.
Yeah.
But he's very influenced by Alice in Wonderland as well. Like, mm-hmm. Cat Bus
yes.
is a directly inspired by the Cheshire Cat. Yeah. That's why it's got that creepy smile. Yeah.
So to me, I'm like, what a great way for him to end his career, mm-hmm. by like going to a property that
clearly means so much.
You know it means, like, the Scarecrow in Howl's Moving Castle is from Wizard of Oz.
He literally gets turned back into a human at the end.
Yeah.
He gets his brain back.
Yes, that is intentional. Like, that is no mistake.
Yeah.
That is direct.
And Howl gets his heart back.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's 100%.
Yeah.
Even if that's from the original book, mm-hmm. and but the look of the Scarecrow, you're just like, oh, yeah, you like Wizard of Oz, don't you?
Yeah.
You really like Wizard of Oz. So give it to him. I think he would kill it. And again, for a long time, there have been so many bad sequels or reboots or adaptations.
Or side boots or sequel
yeah,
boots.
Yeah, of the Wizard of Oz, mm-hmm. that at this point we're like, God, man, like, just stop.
I feel that way. I kind of felt after Wicked, I was like, that we've put this to bed.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a lot of swing at bats. This was a really good one. Let's stop.
Sure.
But public domain is what it is.
But also it's the thing, too, that first movie, it still holds up so well.
It's incredible.
I mean, we're closing in on the 100-year anniversary of that movie.
I mean, we'll see it.
Yeah.
And that's when we'll do the Geek History Lesson on The Wizard of Oz.
It's 20 years away. It's literally 20 years away from
us right now.
Are
we going to be still doing this podcast in 20 years?
It depends on how much blood from the Kiss Army we get. If we get a lot of blood from the Kiss Army, we'll still be doing it.
Don't send us your blood.
One, that's illegal. but two, don't send us your blood. Hashtag no.
Don't send hashtag blood no.
Hashtag no. I don't know. Any other thoughts?
I was very surprised that you liked Howl's as much as you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
a beautiful, complicated man, Ashley.
You are. You contain multitudes.
And I love the Kiss Army.
you don't, though, which is the most deeply
ironic
part. No, I do.
Don't insult the Kiss Army. I do like the Kiss Army.
They're fine. They're like a 7.5 out of
Please 10. Send me a Kiss action figure.
Sure.
I wanted them as a kid.
Sure. Send
them to
our
PO box.
Ted McFarlane.
The Ted McFarlane. Todd's bad brother.
Todd's lesser cousin. They're just made of female clay.
Oh.
Send us a Todd McFarlane Kiss action figures, please.
Yeah. P.O. Box 16429
California.
Encino, California, excuse me, 91416.
That's right. Good job remembering that.
Mm-hmm.
I just am surprised, I guess, because going into doing this and doing Geekies, you were like, I've seen a couple of the movies. You know, I like them, but, you know, and we talked about this on our last Geekish Lesson, actually, when we were doing a Miyazaki retrospective. You know, you and anime have a complicated relationship.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised that it touched you and it struck a chord with you. I'm happy.
But here's the thing. The storytelling was so good,
it transcended
its own medium.
Mm-hmm.
Like that storytelling, that same story, same dialogue, mm-hmm. for me, could have been done with stick figures,
mm-hmm.
and I would have found it compelling.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good that story is. That's how good those characters are.
Yeah.
And that's the that's my problem with anime, is that hardly ever.
It's usually style over substance.
Exactly. And I want substance. I don't want style.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, someday you're going to watch, after I watch Lost, you will watch Cowboy Bebop. And
Are you saying that Lost is influenced by Cowboy Bebop?
No, but that's the thing that you want me to watch that I'm like, I guess, like, I understand that it's good, but like, I'm not interested in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have that same feeling about Cowboy Bebop. You're like, I know it's good and I know it has things in it that I like, but you're like, I'm not enthused to check it out or anything.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure, sure.
So someday you'll watch it.
Cool.
And you'll like it.
And someday we'll give you a big hug in person, everybody.
Someday
listen
we'll
to this.
Find it.
The Rainbow Connection.
Yeah.
The Lovers.
The Dreamers.
The Dreamers and the Kiss Army.
No, don't you pollute that beautiful song with Kiss.
Everyone out there, thank you so much. I'll tell you what, I had a blast talking about Howl's Moving Castle.
Too.
I had a blast doing the extra, and we are only able to do that because of your awesome support over at Patreon. I know that we say this at the end of every episode, but I truly hope that you, everybody listening to this right now, you don't skip past this because we intentionally say it because we truly, truly mean it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, the fact that you guys are okay with us goofing around and,
yeah,
and doing a 10-minute bit about the Kiss Army and Scooby-Doo that we were just like dying means the world to us.
We were literally crying.
So
laughing.
Thank you. I literally thought about walking out of the room just to see if you just end the podcast, to see what
would
happen.
I would have stopped recording eventually.
And I would be like, oh, this would be a first. This would be amazing. I just wanted to see you do it. So anyways, thank you so much for your support, because your support at Patreon, everyone that's listening to this right now, lets us do that. And I really, really appreciate it. I never take you for granted. So
no,
thank you so much.
And these are the ones too that I think we feel most connected. We feel like we're just your friends chatting with you.
We are just your friends. You're our super
awesome
friends, man.
Yeah.
This is a hall of justice.
That's right.
That we're friends. Yeah.
Super friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Friends. Justice. Friends. Justice.
You know, it's funny. We talked about this very recently. We were in a comic book shop in Earth 2 Northridge.
Mm-hmm.
Earth 2 Comics in Northridge, California.
Oh, yes.
And I don't believe this person is a patron, but I'll tell the story. This person actually commented on one of our YouTube videos and said like, oh, I just saw
oh,
you.
That's so,
so
cool.
I'm going to tell the story. So we were in, I was picking up my pole. I was buying Lois Lane and I was buying the Green Lantern hardcover.
Yeah, so if you want to find us, go to Earth 2 Northridge.
Yeah. And we were talking to the clerk because we knew the clerk, and we were talking about Talia Ghul and the Red Hood and some relationship hijinks that have happened there. And we sort of just started having a discussion, and there was a gentleman behind us in line. And as we were walking out the door, he was like, oh, so is this like a live Geek History lesson? And we were like, oh, he listens to Geek History. You know,
it was cool. He was super nice.
He was very, very nice. And yes, we were just having a discussion just like we do here.
Yeah.
Literally with the clerk. So like, these are real conversations. And but it was very kind. He commented on one of our YouTube videos and said I was the guy that was in Northridge. Mm-hmm. It was so nice to meet you. And
excuse me, I'm so sorry.
And I commented back and I said, oh, thanks, man. Thanks for listening. So that's how we feel. I think that's how we feel about these. And thank you so much. So there you go. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
This has been Geekish Lesson Extra and hashtag Kiss Army 55 people. Bye.
Bye.